So this is it. This is the very last bag. And take a look there and do a little shot of the other bags. We need them for proof video. So you can do a little shot of
that. What are y'all doing in New Zealand?
Moving there.
Nice.
Yeah, man. All right, let me go one more. From the day those bags left for New Zealand, it had been 7 months and 30 days since God had me first ship the tiny house. Nothing else happened until the bags. Remarkably, this episode just so happened to fall on the one-year anniversary of the day we shipped the tiny house. Stuck. Oh my goodness gracious. God, in Jesus' name, help. 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 Nope. 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 He's not getting any traction. Nope. 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 Come on, little tiny house. God, help us in Jesus' name. Father, please send an angel to push that out. Wow. 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 Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. He's not getting any traction. Unbelievable. The tiny house tires are just dug in. The thing is sitting on the ground now. God, please help him get this out of here. Please, in Jesus' name. Please help him. Help him. Help him. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Wow. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. Oh my goodness gracious.
Michael!
Unbelievable, man. Wow.
So it's 7:44 on August 2nd, 2021, and the tiny house is gone. It just pulled out. It took two trucks to get it out. The cats are probably a little bit shocked, but the house is gone. This is amazing. So the next time I see my tiny house for real, will be with my wife in New Zealand. Praise God Almighty. This is amazing. What a challenge to see two trucks. They said this was something they've never had to do before. It took two trucks to pull it out. It had been kind of muddy and it was in there in a weird place. And so anyhow, it's gone. Wow, look at that. Look at that, the tiny house is gone, gone, gone. Next stop, New Zealand. Wow. I haven't seen it like this for 2 years. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Look at that. Look at that. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Someone stole my tiny house. Man, oh man, oh man.
Many Bible scholars say that the number 7 represents God's perfection. I'd had been sentenced to 7 years in prison, but the Lord didn't agree with that human sentence. In His perfect plan, I was released after 7 months and 7 days.
Okay, so today is, what is today, Tyler?
The 31st.
The 31st of March. And so, sweetie, the bags are coming to you. This is it. This is bag number 5. And today is 7 months and 7 days since I had that horrible experience in August 25th in Atlanta. So.
By far, one of the most difficult obstacles to a loving and fruitful relationship with God is when He acts in ways that completely contradict our current human understanding of who He is and how we think He should work.
I'm standing here exactly where I hoped I wouldn't be standing. My plane just left without me. Wow. Sweetheart, I'm sorry, baby. I haven't had a chance to listen to your message yet. You would not believe what I've had to go through since I've gotten off that shuttle bus, sweetheart. I'm not trying to be dramatic. But the machine for the carts were broken, and I just had to try to wheel 5 bags all by myself with a backpack on. It was just really, really something that should have been seen on YouTube. I didn't get very, very aggravated. I just got sad. I'm like, God, look at this. You're serving. I'm suffering like just humiliation. The bags went flying and dropped. I tried to put them together, and the first bag fell, and they all went falling straight away. And I finally got them here. I figured out a way to kind of roll them, but now I got to figure out how do I get them from here to the car. The cart machine was broken, and there's no carts around. So I'm in trouble. But I'm just slowly getting there. Maybe I'm tired and I'm hungry and I'm just beat. You know, I'll be able to, once I get in the car, I'll be able to say hello and talk to you. And I'm really sorry, sweetheart. I'm very, very, very sorry. But I actually, there's a part of me that it's like really weird. It's like, you know when to quit. And then there's another part of me that feels like, you know, is it possible it's not over? I just don't understand. I don't understand why God would have done all those things. And he's told us those several days where we hit, you know, the 21 days. I mean, we didn't get all of them, but we got most of them. And the 9/11 thing and all that and the 44,000, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. You know, I mean, now I'm like worried about the tiny house and, man, it's just horrible. This is horrible.
Austin Sparks' teaching from The Cross and the City of God, Chapter 3. Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. Colossians 2:7. Abraham was in the land, yet the very promises given him of God seemed to be denied. Was Abraham mistaken? Are we not sometimes bewildered with the Lord, and are not his ways past finding out? It all looks such a confusing mess, but as faith holds on, one day we shall praise him, and we shall see the reason for it all afterwards. These mysteries of the way contain some secret mystery of God. And are they not another opportunity to show forth his wisdom and power? When all seems gone, the conflict so great, the experience so strange, and there is no key to the situation, we are tempted to question whether the promises were even of God to begin with. Everything is so contrary to what we expected. We begin to wonder if we were all wrong. Just then is the time for us to stand fast in the Lord and maintain that stand in faith. Many of us have had these similar experiences. There is a perplexity. There is apparent contradiction. There is terrible conflict. The forms of experience may vary, but it comes to all of us in some way or another. Still, he will remain faithful. In these perplexing events, you are coming to the place where you know the mystery of God, and it is a glorious opportunity for him to show his wisdom, and so you are established. Having been made strong in the faith, the entire matter is all an issue of endurance. But I've also prayed that the Lord, if he was kind enough, he would be willing to send my bags. And it's just something playful that Lisa and I have talked about. What is today's date, Siri?
It's Sunday, the 17th of October, 2021.
What time is it?
It's 4:55 a.m.
Okay, so that's pretty amazing. Arranged and secured in every part. And I've tried to make this video a few times and it just now worked. Sunday, October 17th. That's arranged and secured in every part. And there you can see
legs are still there.
And so right now, I believe the Lord is telling me to start moving forward. So I think that I'm going to do what I don't want to do. I'm going to go through and put the prices down for all these bags and get prepared to ship these bags off to New Zealand. I think that's the next thing God wants me to do. He's telling me to move forward. ...8:47 in the morning on March 31st, 2022. I've just written this journal entry, and I am really, really, really blessed by this, especially after the hellish day that Lisa had yesterday. The title of the journal entry is 7 months and 7 days for my luggage. This morning, I discovered the incredible fact that my luggage is being shipped to New Zealand exactly 7 months and 7 days from the perplexing experience at the Atlanta International Airport back on August 25th, 2021. One of the most difficult memories of that day was my having to wrestle 6 bags to that airport all by myself. Partly without a luggage cart because the machine was broken. The bags were falling all over the sidewalk and rolling 20 feet away from me. A bus driver felt so sorry for me, and yet she knew there was nothing she could do. I was then barely being able to get all the bags corralled into an elevator on time and constantly trying to hold them all together and stack them in order to get them in and out of the airport. It was a nightmare. At one point, I felt like demons were watching me and mocking me, the servant of the Lord, as I was indeed being put to shame. I have always hoped that I would never have to deal with these bags by dragging them back to an airport again. A few days ago, the Lord began telling me to move forward again. I knew He was talking about the bags, so I spent much time waiting on Him and praying for Him and giving Him opportunities to stop me or to show me 919s, or 525s. And on the contrary, I just kept getting all the more move forward verses, and my heart witnessed to this as well. I started the online process 3 days ago with the website that Lisa had found. I had to list every single item in all 5 bags, which I had done days earlier. Then yesterday, I finished putting a price on each item. I made an item list with quantities and values for each suitcase and uploaded it to the website, only to find out they needed it in a different format. So yesterday afternoon, I redid the list in accord with FedEx's specifications, but unfortunately, it didn't save to the website, so all the work was lost. They called me from New York last night to let me know that they were still waiting on my items list. So I opened back up my laptop and finished the job, praying for God's help. And it worked. Then they contacted me back and informed me that I needed to have the possessions value below $1,000 and I should not put any expensive electronics in the bags. So I told Tyler we will need to take out the Sony PlayStation that he bought for and he will have to pay separate shipping and send it to her separately. By doing so, this got the value down below $1,000. I woke up this morning to an email from Lisa saying, "Baby, they are coming to pick up your bags today." Attached was the FedEx shipping labels for all 5 bags, and they will be here today between 11 and 4 p.m. to pick up the bags. Lisa noticed a few days ago that for the first time, I was really excited about moving forward, specifically regarding knowing that God was telling me to move the bags to New Zealand now. She has taken note of the fact that I have not been very excited at previous times and dates that we thought perhaps we were going to be delivered. I have known in my heart that this was the true grace and blessing of God to move forward this time. I know that He has blessed us to move forward, and I know He is sending me there soon after. Here I am about to send every single possession I own, aside of a small carry-on bag and a backpack, to New Zealand, and my home is already there. The thing that is the most beautiful to me is that once again, God is showing His precise, perfect, sovereign timing. And He has made yet another match to Brother Yun's story. I read several months ago the following in Brother Yun's book. And this number has always stuck out to me as being special. He writes on page 341 of The Heavenly Man, "Many Bible scholars say that the number 7 represents God's perfection. I had been sentenced to 7 years in prison, but the Lord didn't agree with that human sentence. In his perfect plan, I was released after 7 months and 7 days. Now, here it is that I'm essentially making my first steps towards a, quote, prison release, where God is sending off my bags exactly 7 months and 7 days from the day I was put to shame at that Atlanta International Airport. The bags have been sitting here in Tyler's room this entire time, just waiting on God." And then below, I've inserted a picture from timeanddate.com from August 25th, 2021, to today, March 31st, 2022, 219 days, 7 months and 7 days exactly. Praise the Lord in heaven. And this journal entry was written at 8:28 this morning, 8:28. Praise God.
Michael commentary. So as I was working on this message, Lisa asked me a question. She said, "Oh, honey, this reminds me, a few years ago, I wanted to ask you this question. Basically, how do you get from where you believe you've truly heard from God on something to actually taking action on it? How do you overcome the fear in the middle, which begins to rise up, causing you to question whether or not you actually heard from God?" So I want to just remind you of a few principles that I shared with her. Number one, the most important thing about putting yourself in a position to truly hear clearly from God in whatever way He wishes to speak to you is making sure that you've yielded your will to His. So the first thing you do is you make sure that you're lowering your spirit, lowering your flesh, and saying, "Father, I'm at a place where I really truly desire your will to be done in this situation more than my own. And the reason, Father, is because I trust you to make a better choice for me than I can make." That's the number one way that you can safeguard yourself, I believe, against being led astray by Satan and being confused about the guidance of God. Be certain, if you get that part right, learning to hear from God and taking action on it and having confidence to do so is much easier. So the next thing to understand is that when you believe that you're seeing some sort of sign, or you think there's some providence that is God speaking to you, and it could be any number of ways that God speaks. God is alive. John 8:47, "Those who belong to God hear God. The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God." John 10, Jesus says that He's the good shepherd. His sheep know His voice and follow Him. "How can I follow a God I can't hear?" Some of the greatest testimonies you'll ever hear in Christian history required that that person be able to hear God in a moment, whether it was speaking of a verse, whether it was an inner witness to the heart, whether it was a remarkable dream, whether it was speaking through somebody else. That saint or servant needed to be able to hear from God in whatever way God chose to speak to them in order for God's will to be done. It was never just a matter of what the Sola Scriptura camp would like for you to believe, that God no longer speaks in any living way outside of the Bible, such that to believe today you could hear from God, it would mean, if you're in the Sola Scriptura John MacArthur camp, the only way you can hear from God is if you happen to be reading the exact right Bible passage, the exact right day that God wants to speak to you. How then does John MacArthur reconcile the thousands of Christian testimonies? I'll just use the best one I've ever heard, Brother Yun. How could he ever read The Heavenly Man and say God doesn't speak anymore outside of His Word? It's absolute nonsense. How could you look at my whole life? There is so much power in my life, you haven't yet understood it. Brothers and sisters, I'm working on a project behind the scenes that will help simplify the complicated, and I'm creating an interactive, three-dimensional timeline with images, audio, videos, never before seen media pieces in my story that will help you view the entire events that God's done, view them illustrated
in an interactive timeline where you'll be able to see all the instances of God putting every single event in my life in the last 20 years into precisely time periods. You're getting ready to hear another one regarding the bags that is just remarkable. Now, I have had to have God's speaking voice in order for all of this to happen. Now, you can see, brothers and sisters, God using numbers in my life is pointing me to the Word, but even sometimes He speaks to my heart and gives me insight on things. Sometimes it's a direct word to the heart. Sometimes He speaks to me through a dream. Let me set one thing right for you. When you begin to look at and notice however it is God may be speaking to you, first thing you're asking is, okay, am I in a position where I desire God's will? And if you can answer yes to that question, now it takes to discernment to discern, is this really the speaking voice of God? Or could this be satanic ploy, Egyptian magician? Remember, Satan can quote scripture as well. He can, and from time to time he will. The safeguard against this is being desirous to do God's will. That's the most important thing you can do. If you still have pretense when you go to God and you got fingers crossed behind your back still wanting to have your way, then I think you set yourself up for Satan to be able to get in there and really mess you up. But let me just make this point. A lot of people have struggled over the years with this numbers thing and they trip over it. And I understand because even I tripped over it. But people ignorantly, and it truly is ignorance, immediately say, numerology. I replied with irony and sarcasm to a person who posed this complaint just the other day by showing all these scriptures where God has all these things about numbers and numbering this and numbering that and counting this and doing this and by numbers. And I said, look, God clearly thinks there's some meaning behind this number 40 and this number 7 and this number 21 and this number this and number this and number that. I said, that's the very basis of numerology. God is clearly a numerologist. You need to send your email to God first and warn him about numerology, not me. And so I made this big kind of ironic, did it in a loving way, but to try to show us the foolishness of thinking that if God uses a providence called numbers to guide me to scriptures, that it's to immediately assume it's numerology is absolutely foolish. It's even more foolish when you look at my whole life last 20 years, particularly the last 13 years where God has used these numbers almost exclusively to guide me. I should be living under an overpass right now. I should be train wrecked. I should have given up on God. You'll recognize a tree by its fruit. What is the fruit of the numbers in my life? Has it brought me closer to God, farther away? Has it resulted in more power of God or less? Has it resulted in more miracles and end time dates that have hit so precisely that you realize, oh my God in heaven, only He could do it. You recognize a tree by its fruit. Let me make it clear. If all of my trusting God in the wilderness recordings at relentlessheart.com, instead of you hearing me say, oh, today I saw this number, what if I then told you that it was a squirrel who spoke to me? And God saw I was going to be in the woods all these years, and so He decided He could use a squirrel to speak to me. Now, immediately you would say, well, this doesn't make any sense. God never spoke through a squirrel in the Bible. He never spoke through a squirrel to me. This is ridiculous. This is occultic. This is satanic. And we immediately, if it doesn't make sense to us, we want to throw it out. I understand. That's called human nature 101. I get it. I have that human nature. I've already said many years, looking back on the old Michael Criswell, if he would look at this Michael Criswell, he would say this guy is an absolute nutcase. But watch this. Supposing I told you that God was speaking to me through a squirrel, would you be so arrogant as to say that you're the one that has all of God's do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts tidied up in a nice little box that He's in? And you're the one who says God can or won't ever speak to me through a squirrel? After all, let's just face it, He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. But how would you know? Can you say definitely God would never speak to me through a squirrel? How would you know? You would know whether or not God was speaking to me through a squirrel the same way Moses knew God was speaking to him through whatever method He chose to speak to him that apparently wasn't super clear to Moses, because in Exodus 3:12, God says this, a very perplexing thing to Moses. This is how you will know that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, and you worship me on this mountain. I have always been amazed by that passage of scripture. It shows us that oftentimes when God speaks to us, it's not as clear as if it were written in the sky. What does that mean? Even the speaking voice of God through providence requires faith. Whether I'm telling you a squirrel speaks to me, that would require faith on my part and yours, or God is using numbers to speak to me, that would require faith on my part and yours, it still requires for me to have faith even today to believe. And this example you're getting ready to hear today about the bags is a perfect example of God giving me a bunch of numbers, speaking to me through providence, telling me to move forward on the bags. And in that moment, you don't know, is this delusional? Is this occultic? Is this just random coincidence? Surely God is not really speaking to this guy through numbers. People have been tripping over this for 13 years. Where are those people from 10 years ago who showed up and said, Michael, God never speaks through numbers? Really? Well, if he doesn't, how am I getting the consistent results that I am, such that every single, and brothers and sisters, I can't say this enough, every single event in my life is tied to a precise period of time, all tied back to the Bible, every single one. And they all have required me being able to hear God in order to obey him, in order for God to affect the outcome. It hasn't just been the sovereignty of God that has directed all this any more than the sovereignty of God doesn't get me out of bed every morning. I get out by the grace of God that I exercise, but it's not the sovereignty of God that picks me up and just moves me around. I have a role to play. Philippians 2:12 and 2:13, I'm having to work out that which God works in. So again, back to the squirrel. You trip over the numbers. Let's say I told you that it was all a squirrel who was speaking to me. How would you know? You would know by waiting enough time and seeing if what I said God told me came to pass. Immediately somebody would say, ah, and they would think, particularly my critics, they want to point to, oh, you thought Laura. Well, of course, we now realize 40 months to the day, God has me let go of Laura, and 7 days later, I get the phone number from P, and it becomes pretty clear God used her as a placeholder, didn't it, to keep me from being able to be hitched with anybody except for his purposes for me to marry P. You see, in my story, the key to unlocking God's perplexities and all of these consternations and confusing things and contradictions, the key to having a resolution in this story is always just a little bit more time. It's time for me and time for you. The key is perseverance. God is slow. God is very slow. God is very, very slow. And not only that, but in between the time that he speaks and in between the time that he acts, it's not that it just stays even keel. It's not that it's just peachy. God allows a devil to antagonize, to afflict. God allows circumstances to contradict. God allows perplexities. God allows reversals. God calls you to take trips to the airport that end in total disaster. God tests you. God leads you to waters 5 times like Israel that fail or that miserable bitter. God leads you to hunger. That's where faith is built. That's where you're establishing God. But watch this. You again, how do you know if you've heard from God? You're going to have some discernment, first of all, to discern, okay, do I believe that God would speak to me? You have to have some basic understanding of the Bible. I used to always tell people in the beginning, when God speaks to you, you'll know he's speaking to you because he almost always asks you to do things you do not want to do. Now, you have this issue of when you hear from God, at some point, you're going to have to step over by the power of the Holy Spirit the fear that says, what if this isn't God? What if this is Satan? What if this is my own mind? What if this is my own imagination? At some point, you have to step over that and take a risk. When it's back in 2010, and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and says, fire your attorney and trust me for your defense, and I will do this in a highly unusual way that will bring me much glory. Brothers and sisters, look at the glory that came to God through that story. 1.7 million views, countless suicide preventions. Some of the most remarkable suicide stories I've ever heard have been put into my inbox. Why? Because of trusting God in the storm. What is trusting God in the storm? It all starts, it's all rooted in one moment where I heard the voice of God sitting in that couch. In that little house I rented, fire your attorney and trust me to defend you. And I will do this in a highly unusual way, and it will not be because you had a better attorney, and it will bring me much glory. I had to know. How did I know that was the speaking voice of God? I don't know how to explain that to you any more than I can explain to you or put into words what love is, or how I can tell you I know I'm born again. The Bible says I have an inner witness to tell me I'm born again.
Not my pastor telling me, oh, you said the right prayer. Not the guy on the YouTube channel convincing me I am. Not my friend saying I'm confident you are. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. How can I describe to somebody else what that inner witness is? You have to, at some point, as the old saint said, have three things in place before you move forward on something God tells you. I'm getting ready to move forward to send my bags. Whether God used numbers to tell me to do so or a squirrel, how would you know God told me to send my bags off to New Zealand? You'll know if they arrive, and you'll know if they arrive in some remarkable way, wouldn't you? Then you'd know, wow, this guy really heard from God. He told us that a squirrel told him to do this. I thought the guy was a foolish idiot. But then when I heard the story and I heard the unbelievable timing of how God did all this, I have to say, maybe my vision of God is a little bit puny. Maybe I have God in a box. Maybe I don't have all the say on all of God's do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts. Maybe he's a bit bigger, or maybe he's outside of the box. Maybe he's outside of the realm of my human understanding of him. Brothers and sisters, you're going to hear that in this story. You're getting ready to hear a recording where I know that I've heard from God to move forward, and he's using numbers, okay? Now watch, I'm not sharing a lot of recordings anymore with you guys where God is giving me the providence. Oh, I saw this number, I woke up and saw this, this number. I don't do that a whole lot anymore because that's just between me and the Lord. That's just him speaking to me. What I'm now mostly focusing on is the principles that you and I can learn from along the way, principles of humility, principles of faith being contradicted by circumstances, long periods of waiting on God, etc., and then the actual events so that you can see the wonderful deeds God has done. That's my primary focus. But I'm getting ready for this example to give you an example of how God uses numbers. And this is the exact same thing that happened before I moved the tiny house to New Zealand. Did the tiny house make it? Was it miraculous? Was it prophetic in any way? You guys remember, May 9th, 2021, I'm in prayer. God gives me this date, September 11th. I think it's the day that Lisa and I are going to get married. Turns out it's the day that the tiny house, I didn't even know I was going to be sending to New Zealand at that point, lands and spends its first day on Auckland, New Zealand soil. And that happened to be 777 days from the first day of land prep for the tiny house's first parking spot in Huntsville, Alabama, and the same day that P had told me I can no longer wait for us to fix this divorce paperwork. I need to move forward on it. So you might have heard me talk about all the numbers. Oh, this guy's an idiot. He's sending his tiny house. What a foolish thing. Okay, I ask you, what was the result? A tree is recognized by its fruit. Wisdom is proved right by her actions, by her children, by her offspring. Even though in the middle of the time, there's all these conflicting circumstances, contradictions, confusions, testings of faith, painful reversals, long periods of waiting. Brothers and sisters, one of the biggest keys to understanding God in my story or in anybody's story for that matter that's really walking with God is time. Just being patient, just allowing a little bit more time to go, and you'll suddenly see, suddenly we get a resolved story and we go, wow, God did this. And your soul and your heart is satisfied. That's what you're getting ready to hear with this story about the bags. The timing of this bags coming and going and all of this is truly remarkable. It's going to take two episodes to show it to you because the other part is down the road. It's a few months down the road past the time that we're at now in the series. So you'll have to wait and I'll just revisit some of these highlights. But you're getting ready to hear some remarkable timing. And anybody that thinks that this is a coincidence or that I did something to manipulate this time that God chooses to do this in to have me move forward with the bags, you'll find out once I let the bags go, they're no longer in my control. I'm totally now vulnerable to God, his timing, his control. Just wait until you hear the timing of the bags arriving on Lisa's front porch in New Zealand. So very quickly to wrap it up, in hearing God, there's three things that all the old saints used to talk about that you would want to do and make sure these three things are in play before you move forward. The inner witness. The same inner witness that you're born of God can be the same inner witness that tells you that a word of God is from him. That's how I know. It's not just the numbers. It's the sense of peace, this inner witness in my heart. Do this. Move forward. This is what you're supposed to do. There's an agreement. Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your hearts. Then it's in accord with the word of God. It's not directly violating any known principles of the word of God. And in this instance, these, quote, word of God through the numbers that are being spoken to me are all exactly in line with the subject matter. But then the third thing is the circumstances. You look at those circumstances. And let me just point out that in this example that you're getting ready to hear, you're going to hear me mention that I had this terrible dream about my arriving in New Zealand. And it happens the night before I'm seeing all these providences, God telling me to move forward. You'll also hear in the recording, I mention the inner witness. There it is. You have the exact three things that I'm teaching you right now in this commentary. If you pay attention, you'll hear all three of these things come into alignment in this exact recording. I have the inner witness, the Word of God, and the circumstances. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Satan's strikes be very useful in determining whether or not I was to move forward or stand still in some matter God was trying to speak to me about. Another thing, the problem for most people, again, is going to be the carnality. Most of us are just not that spiritual. We're very carnal, and we run to God with these pretenses. In fact, the majority of the people listening to this recording, you'll get excited about what you hear in principle, but you're still going to have this barrier in your heart. You don't even know how wicked your heart is. The Bible says it, that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can understand it? And you don't realize until God has really, really broken you over and over and over again, broken you free of your self-life, which is so powerful, you don't realize how much corruption stands in the way like a roadblock preventing God from being able to speak to you because you're going to God in a time of need. In fact, the reason why you're getting so excited about hearing these principles is because you have something in your life you want to see resolved. It's a relationship, it's finances, it's living, it's a child situation, it's any number of things it could be, and you're really desperate to hear from God on that. But back of all that, deep down, is your desire already to see your outcome. Brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you how important this is. See, your heart is so deceitful, it will hide this from you. And you'll go, why am I not hearing from God? Why is God not speaking to me? Why am I not getting this kind of providence? Oh, well, the reason is because you haven't humbled yourself yet. You haven't been broken. You're still too much flesh. You're still too much carnality. You still want too much what you want and not what God wants. You're still not yet in the Garden of Gethsemane going, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can be taken away from me, please take it away from me. Nevertheless, my Father, not my will be done, but yours. If you haven't gotten to that place yet, you're going to have a very difficult time hearing from God because you're constantly going to Him with your fingers behind your back crossed, and God sees it. You're going to Him saying, God, I want to hear from you how to fix this relationship. I want to hear from you how to fix my child. I want to hear from you how to fix this marriage. I want to hear from you how to fix this, you know, finances. I want to, how are you going to fix this homelessness? How are you going to fix this, that, and the other? How are you going to fix this problem, this total loss of my whole family? How are you going to fix the loss of my career, the dignity, all that? This is where we go so tragically wrong with God. We think that God is all about fixing us up. No, He's not. He's about tearing you down. You go read the book of Jeremiah when he raises up this extraordinary prophet. He says, I am sending you in to tear down, to uproot, to destroy. There was a great devotional that came in a few days ago from Austin Sparks about this. It's not just broken in circumstances. You lost your marriage. Forget about it. You know how many people by the thousands have contacted me in this ministry over the years that have had horrific falling out of the sky airplane crashes in their life, terrible broken in their circumstances, totally not broken in their self-life. Wanting to whine, moan, complain, ask me, how do I get my wife, spouse, job, cows, cousin, aunts, you know, whatever to come back, whatever to fix this. God's not interested in that. He is not interested in that. He's interested in that person going, man, I put my whole life together. I crashed and burned it. Doing life by me having the reins was a train wreck. I quit. God, I quit. I don't want to presume anymore with my human nature. I don't want to presume with what my pastor says my life should look like, what Tony Robbins says my life should look like, what my favorite YouTube guru or whoever it is I'm following thinks it looks like. Nope. God, I give up. I want to do life your way on your terms. I no longer want to be in control of my life. I no longer want to dictate to you about what I want to see happen. I no longer want to talk to you about what I want to see you fix. I don't do anything today that the Father doesn't want me to do. Nothing. Everything you see happening in my life, marrying, divorcing, remarrying, waiting, building, moving, sitting, staying put, writing, videoing, stopping, you name it. Putting out certain messages, they're all precisely timed. It's because I don't do anything of my own will. I've been praying for years, God, make me like Jesus, where I only do what the Father tells me to do. Okay, I'm going to end this here. Just remember, inner witness, word of God, circumstances. Pay attention to how all three of those are in this next recording. May God bless you as you listen. Okay, so this is just a quick journal entry to capture. It's 9:51. I was just thinking about it. I got up to take a little break from sitting and reading and all that stuff. And I was thinking about how I've been seeing, you know, 8:48s twice this morning. I'm seeing 2:31s. I've seen very conspicuous 10:17. Jared's message to me this morning was 10:17. I am seeing 1:17 yesterday four times. I've seen it today. It's all about move forward. The 9:51, I saw it probably two times yesterday. And just now as I'm making my cereal, I saw it. And so it seems to me like the providence is pointing. And I literally just had this thought. I was going to the restroom. I said, Lord, in my heart, Lord, I really need to know, are you confirming for me? Is this the real providence that you really want me to move forward on this? And I was thinking about how in past, when he's ready for me to move forward, he makes it so clear. And so right now, I believe the Lord is telling me to start moving forward. So I think that I'm going to do what I don't want to do. I'm going to go through and put the prices down for all these bags and get prepared to ship these bags off to New Zealand. I think that's the next thing God wants me to do. He's telling me to move forward. It seems pretty obvious. I think I'm getting the inner witness. I felt very restless this morning. I haven't been able to really stay focused on anything. I've jumped around a good bit. I had that terrible dream last night about going to New Zealand and being so persecuted on day one that I arrived there. It was just a horrible, horrible dream. And now here it is. I feel God is telling me move forward in spite of opposition. Perhaps I can even have these bags gone by tomorrow on their way to New Zealand. Now that would be remarkable. So praise the Lord. Okay, it is right now 8:21 a.m. in the morning on March 30th, 2022. Today, my prayers have been a lot of, Father, don't let your servant bring any more shame or doubt or contempt on your word than I already have by you allowing me to have such a bizarre testimony. In other words, Lord, don't let me be wrong. Please, Father God, in Jesus' name, I've begged him to help me to really know that I'm hearing from him along the way. I don't want to hurt my wife. I don't want to hurt my subscribers. I don't want to hurt my future daughter. I don't want to hurt her family. I don't want to hurt God's word, his heart. I've really just pleaded with the Lord in all humility, and even tears came to my eyes. And I said, Lord, remember, I am your little boy. You know, I am your little boy and I'm dependent upon you. You know, there's no perfection in following God. Even for me, if I'm called a full-time servant or called a prophet, there's no perfection in it. There are still so many hidden parts to it. It's just like with Moses. God had to tell Moses, perhaps the greatest old covenant prophet of all, he had to tell him, you will know that it is I who have sent you. When? After you've brought the people out, you worship me on this mountain, Exodus 3:12. And I've always been so perplexed by that. It's God telling Moses, who no doubt would have been spoken to by God in a way that nobody has been spoken to by God since. I mean, God showed his backside to Moses. So now you're talking about God saying, okay, you've heard my voice, but you will know that it is I after this thing that I've told you happens. And I've seen this principle in my own life where you never really know. When God tells you to move forward, makes you a promise, you see all these providences, you're really at the mercy of God. When you have a relationship with God like this, you are so at the mercy of God because you have two terrible, terrible enemies
and distractions that stand in your way. Satan, who can easily get involved, twist, quote scripture, perhaps even make a few providences. And then your own corrupt imagination, which is already given to believe and see what the secular world calls confirmation bias, what you want to see. So this walking with God is very, very fragile when you look at it with the eyes of human reasoning. And you really look at it how if you were to take all the answered prayers, all the miraculous providences that I've seen in my life, and you put them all in one spot, they look great, they look clear, they're amazing. Yes, God told me to build a tiny house, I did, and it all came to pass exactly as He told me. Yes, God told me to go to India, I did. To Mary P, I did. It all happened exactly as God told me, and even laws had to be broken in order for me to do this. And there's all kinds of stories we can look at, but in between all those events coming to pass, there's always the uncertainty. Have I really heard from God in this? And of course, you keep pressing forward in faith. You believe that you've heard from God. You believe that when God shows you a number of 555s, that this is His way of telling you He's going to deliver you when you walk into this courtroom. And then you walk into the courtroom and God has told you, you won't even have to say a word, leading you to a scripture. And you get in there and you begin to ask, you begin to say something, and the judge reminds you that it's not even necessary for you to say something. And this happens with more than one judge and happens in more than one courtroom. And you see that exactly it was God who said that. Then it's like you're always finding out after the fact that it truly was God who gave you that word. And this is what the life of faith is like. There is no absolute certainty until what God has said comes to pass. And yet, we are called to believe it and not doubt. Mark 11:22, have faith in God, Jesus answered. If anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he has said will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believe you have received them and they will be yours. This is a very, very interesting thing. It's a principle that could almost be contradicted by what, you know, God told Moses. You will know once you come out that it was I who sent you. But nevertheless, Moses has to move forward by faith through the whole thing. And that is what God sees as your knowing. It's like God knows you have this part of you that is always an atheist. And this has to be one of the most fascinating parts to me of what it means to be a Christian. The fact that I could be called a full-time servant of the Lord, a prophet of God, no matter what it is, clearly have all this evidence of God in my life and heart, and yet even still I have an atheist inside of me. Even still I have these corruptions that want to doubt, want to reason away the providence to just coincidence, that want to doubt if this really is of God, and who is subject to making it look like God has said a few things that maybe He didn't. There's a fragility to it. Even with God using numbers in my life, I see sometimes it clearly is God speaking to me, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it legitimately is just a, quote, coincidence. And then there are times when I've seen things and I've believed, and, you know, it clearly didn't come to pass or what have you. Or then there's other times where things that they don't come to pass for a long time. So I've explained to Lisa all these scriptures that God has shown us in these last 11 months. Many of them, God shows them to us over and over and over again. This idea of you're about to cross over. And this tests you because you think to yourself, now hold on a second, God. You told us we were about to cross over back in August, then in September, then in October, then perhaps December, then in January. And we've been seeing this, you're about to cross over, scripture that God has shown us. We've seen so many things. And you say to yourself, but where is it? And then all of a sudden you begin to doubt, as if you say, okay, maybe I've misheard God. Well, isn't it interesting that just this morning I found out the longest about to I have ever heard of in the Bible. I'm studying Jeremiah intently, and I was amazed to find out this morning that Jeremiah, his prophetic ministry lasted 40 years, almost 41 years. And incidentally, the first prophecy comes to him in the very beginning of his ministry. That's where his ministry begins. And this happens that God gives him this, you know, picture of the kettle, picture of the almond branch. See, I'm looking to see my word is fulfilled. And there are people who've interpreted that passage to mean that it's springing into action soon, that this is God looking to speedily see his word come to true. So this is the impression that Jeremiah gets, that this word God is getting ready to speak to him is going to come to pass speedily. To confirm this, when God shows the kettle pot tipping over from the north to the south with boiling water, God says, I am about to. Well, that about to doesn't actually come to pass for 40 years. It's so easy to read 50 chapters in a book of Jeremiah in a couple of hours and go, wow, that was a pretty neat journey. Wow, man, that was tough there for a few moments. But when you realize that all of that happens over 40 years, and you see that Jeremiah had to look like a false prophet, not for 4 days, not 4 weeks, not 4 months, not 4 years, but for 40 years, this man looks like a false prophet. But you see him repeatedly saying, God, why are you not bringing to pass? He basically is so struggling with the fact that God has told him he is going to destroy these people, take them into bondage, do terrible things to them, strike them, and then it doesn't come to pass. It's waiting and waiting and waiting, and then Jeremiah is thought to be a false prophet. He's put in stocks, put into the mud, you know, pit, into the empty cistern. He's, you know, put up in jail, hung up in the court. He's done all kinds of things that they're trying to kill him. And so you have this 40-year-old deal, and I'm sure that he can hear the words of God in his mouth. I'm about to. And no doubt, maybe God came to him several times and said, I'm about to. Hence the reason why Jeremiah says, why is this that I continue to suffer such shame? You raised me up. You told me to go tell people that this is about to happen. I did. And now 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, 25, 35, 40, 40 years later, it finally happens. Wow. You talk about Psalm 105, I think it's 19. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Oh my goodness gracious. I have a new respect for Prophet Jeremiah. And the testing was talking about Joseph. But Joseph had to suffer a lot less time than Jeremiah did. Jeremiah's got this 40-year ordeal. It's incredible. So I'm thinking about all the times that God will give us words and it says, you're about to cross over. You're about to possess the promised land. And we see these and I think to myself, okay, God, I've been seeing this for a while. This hasn't come true. And it makes you wonder, like, have I been deceived? Hence the prophet will say to God, will you be like a deceptive brook to me? He then finally says, oh, you deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed against me. And then he starts talking about, I'm mocked. What is he saying? Why is he saying, you deceived me? He's saying because God told him, I'm about to do this. Go prophesy. Tell the people it's coming. An army, a leopard, a lion is coming. And then he never comes. And Jeremiah's back to like, what is going on? And the people are like, yeah, where's this coming lion, this coming leopard, this coming boiling pot from the north, this besieging army you're talking about? Where is it, Mr. Prophet? He has to go through something like that. And even worse, God tells him to go back and give another word, and then another word, and then another word, and then another word. So on top of the words that never came to pass to begin with, it looks like Jeremiah is just being an absolute thorn in the side of the king of Judah and the people of Judah, and telling them, you know, over and over, these things are going to happen. It's truly unbelievable to see how patient, merciful God is and how willing he is to make one of his servants feel like and look like a fool for a long time. Hence the reason Psalm 105:19. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And I have said to the Lord, God, your word is testing Lisa and I big time. And we have to realize this. And I get such great encouragement from seeing that this is indeed a way of God.
He speaks a word, he says it soon, and it may be years. Soon to us is totally different than soon to God. And the thing that has made this event so much more perplexing and susceptible to our discouragement is the fact that we see God doing all these things in my life in precisely timed periods, precise time periods. And we then become to expect, and we begin to try to anticipate and look into and seeing the pattern of how God has done. And so, you know, I never guessed 1 year. We never hoped, and it might be longer than 1 year. It could be 3 years for all we know. And right now, if Lisa were to hear that, she'd be so like, hey! She would be so upset. She would be so upset if I said that. And she always has been. She used to say, well, there's no way it can be in 2022. She said that. She goes, at least it's not going to be pushed to 2022. That was her way of constantly keeping herself hoping. And I said, oh, baby, look at this. We're at 2022. And, we're 4 months into 2022 and we're still not together. We're a quarter of the way through that year that she said, I hope that, surely he's not going to make us wait till 2022. And surely he has. So we don't know when it will come to pass. And I'm getting ready to send every one of my possessions off to Lisa. So the tiny house is there, and now I'm getting ready to send 5 suitcases full of everything I own except for 1 carry-on and 1 backpack. That's it. So that's all I'm going to have until God sees fit to put us there. And I just got so excited last night in prayer. I got excited about this is faith, God. We're walking forward again in faith in spite of all that we've seen, God. Look down and see that we're still moving forward. We're still believing you. No matter how many disappointments, we're still persevering. We're still hoping. And now, God, see our faith. And I was just so excited. And I prayed that he would be blessed to feel our faith because it pleases him so much. I feel a sense of excitement. It's like I'm moving forward. And to me... It's one thing for God to have me send the tiny house, but it's another thing for God to have me send my personal effects. I mean, if he doesn't deliver me, then I'm going to have to go out and buy new clothes, for this summer coming and stuff like that. And, I'll only have basically 1 pair of shoes, etc. So this is a really big deal. I'm very, very excited about this. And I said, Lord, if for any reason you do not want us to move forward, please show us a 9:19 while we're doing the process. The process went smooth online. Afterwards, we prayed. And then within 1 minute of me praying, I saw 8:48. Go in peace. Your faith has delivered you. And I just said, God, this just really feels like it. So I'm at the mercy of God. I mean, could I be making a mistake and doing something that's going to just cost me even more money and make me even a bigger fool? Absolutely, it could. I'm not trying to put God to the test. I'm trying to move forward as best as I can. Having waited on God all this time, and as it turns out, this process will be completed today. And we also have a 110 marker for today, Lisa pointed out last night. So we have a 110 marker, Joshua 110, in 3 days you'll cross over. And I said, sweetheart, that is today, and that's the day that this paperwork will be finished and we will actually have purchased and they will probably charge my card and we will have an appointment date for them to come pick up the bags the next day. This is a big deal. This is indeed a quote crossing over. And she goes, oh yeah, you're right. And so here it is again. We see God hitting a date and a time and the rest of it is completely blank. That's what makes this kind of so incredibly exciting. I mean, I'm standing here with no passport, no visa, no open border in New Zealand. And I am believing that God has found an alternative way, his way, to get me into this nation, to get me out of mine and into New Zealand, to get me to be with my wife, to show that it was his hand who done this, to show how powerful the arm of the Lord is. Just like with him doing everything in my life by dates and times, arranging all circumstances, here it is. I told Lisa the other night, how strange is it that we are believing this invisible God? This is the flesh speaking. That we are believing by some sixth sense
some people might call a sick sense, called faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see, starting with the very God we obey. We cannot see Him. We're largely obeying Him based upon these kind of external, what we call providences, where He's guiding and directing everything from my seeing certain numbers, which then I have to believe by faith, linked to passages in the Bible, corroborated additionally by circumstances being changed and corroborating certain, also by the feeling and the inner witness in the heart, so that there's this agreement in the inner heart, there's an agreement in the Word of God, and there's an agreement in the circumstances. And this whole thing is so mysterious. It's by faith. And I'm living this life that the rest of the world would think is, are you insane? Like, I'm standing here right now on this trail, right in this moment, believing that somehow I'm going to be with my wife in New Zealand. And yet there's nothing but impossibility standing between here and there. And I'm taking more risks, going to send even more money over there, even more of my possessions, taking an even greater risk to believe this invisible God to act by invisible power, to do things that on earth are not possible unless He does it. That is absolutely flabbergasting to the nature. I mean, I still have this nature, and I told this the other night, I said, can you believe, look at this. We are waiting for God, this invisible God, to act in our behalf. We're not doing like what the people in the world do or what we used to do. We just, like, you want something, you go online, you figure out how to make it happen, you look for where the obstacles are, you look for people who found ways around it, and you go and you attack this thing like the ways of the world do. Your own strength is your God, or a good attorney, or whatever. And instead, we are having this experience where you look completely delusional. You're waiting for this invisible God who most of the world thinks is nothing more than a fairy tale by their lives they live before Him, and or some cosmic pixie dust hope for eternal life after death. But as far as having a real living, breathing relationship with Him, this whole thing is just amazing. God gives you just enough evidences. I mean, little tiny reesey pieces, little tiny evidences to know that you know you're walking with Him. And I just think how extraordinary it is. How could I explain my life in the last 12 years in particular to my flesh that I have been living entirely by faith? I don't ask people for money. I don't take matters into my own hands. I don't search for my own solutions. I don't hire attorneys when I have to go to court. I don't hire attorneys when I need to emigrate. I don't hire attorneys to help me get married. I don't hire whatever it is that you'd think, even doctors, where I'm trusting God for my health and seeing Him heal me in ways, et cetera, along the way. I'm trusting and walking with this invisible God. How unbelievable is that? And the thing that is so perplexing about it is that I have never become so, quote, delusional that I'm not aware of how absolutely insane this is to the nature. It's really incredible that as a Christ-filled Christian with the Holy Spirit of God in you, if you are truly healthy, I believe it. I believe there are people who do become almost insane in their Christian beliefs. There is a fine line between faith and foolishness, or shall we say faith and insanity. There really is, because all the people that are sitting in mental wards are, God told me I'm the Messiah. There's the devil, blah, 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 whatever it is. And you see this insanity on people, and they always want to bring God into it. Oh, it was God who told me to hold down my 5 children in the bathtub and kill them. It's insanity. And you look at these things, and it's like Satan is always trying to make God. That's one of the greater proofs of God and the devil right there. When somebody goes insane, Satan is always wanting to bring shame on the name of God. It's exactly like the fortune teller in the book of Acts. Oh, these men know the way. These are the servants of the Most High God. And Paul is like, shut her mouth. Come out of her, you devil. You see, the point is that these guys see that she is trying to be used of Satan to mock the way. She's not saying, these guys are idiots. They believe in God. They're delusional, suffering from confirmational bias of the third kind. No. That's not what she's saying. She's saying, these guys are telling you the way. They're following Jesus, the Most High Son of God. they're trying to literally bring shame and mocking to God. That's exactly what we see with insanity. That's how you can know. I mean, I would say to any person who's an atheist, why do you think it is that people that are insane start taking the name of God and Jesus Christ on their lips, even thinking they are Him? You think that just happens because there is no God? Or isn't it more likely that there really is a Jesus Christ and a God who Satan hates and he wants you to feel like he's an absolute idiot, so he puts his name in the mouth of a person who's insane? My point is that I have never lost my capacity still. Even though I'm trusting God at right now what must be the highest level, to God having me leave the country intentionally like this and intentionally doing it away when I don't have a passport. And I don't have a passport not because I'm a criminal, but because a criminal act was committed against me. God is going to have to take care of this. If I haven't heard from God, I'm putting myself in serious harm's way. Nonetheless, I have to trust the Lord with all of these things. I have to trust the Lord, not my own understanding. And this is the part where I recognize how delusional this kind of stuff seems. It really seems delusional, like, man, you're taking so much of a risk, and this is what it means to truly trust God. It always has been this way. And I'm just amazed by it. I think I'm just amazed by it in my natural self. Trusting God is risky. You have to know in situations like this that you heard from Him, or you're putting yourself in serious jeopardy. Hence the reason so many people have been caught up and taken a leap and putting God to the test and found out the hard way it wasn't God, it was your own false imagination. I can't even imagine the number of people have completely shipwrecked their entire faith and life, all in the name of trusting God in faith, putting God to the test. And yet, as soon as I say that, I think of how often it has looked exactly like that for people until, just like myself, the word of the Lord came to pass. And until that time, the word of the Lord tested him. So this is it. We're taking another risk, sending all my possessions on, trusting that I will follow. And yet here we are. We have no idea how that can happen. We have an idea. But we have no certainty of which to say that that's anything more than a figment of our imagination. So this is really incredible. May the name of the Lord be praised when what He has said comes true. I know, above all the looking at it from the flesh, that I will be with my wife in New Zealand exactly as God has said it. And we have seen such incredible character development, and we have thanked Him so much for making us wait so long. And we even just said day before yesterday how we recognize that we will appreciate our relationship so much more and be so much more prepared for it. We know so much about each other. We have talked and visited average 3 hours a day for the last 11 months. It's been incredible. And so we really are so excited that we now know each other so much better in preparation for being put together. God's timing is just perfect. I couldn't agree with Him more to have caused us to wait, and if He wants us to wait even longer, we will. I'm just really seeing that God is doing something. He's on the move again. He's telling me to move, and that to me is God on the move, and that is exciting. Praise His name. Can't wait to see what God is going to do in Jesus' name.